RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
All right, what are the odds that Carlos Gomez had to happen today, Joel?
I think it had to happen 2 days ago. He's just never panned out. It's a shame. They put a lot on the line and gave up a lot to get him.
The problem with the Astros is that every outfielder on this team that's not named George Springer is a fifth outfielder. And Gomez wasn't even that at the end. Designated for assignment today, in case you missed it, and that's pretty much probably ending the Carlos Gomez era in Houston. What's going to happen with this team this year is as much as about who they drafted last year. I think Bernardrick McKinney is a guy who's going to take a huge step this year.
We had Wade Phillips up here the one day, and he was talking about, you know, how their defense was fed off of everybody else doing their job, and the fact that you had Ware on the edge was the reason why Von Miller could do a lot of the things he did. Well, that's the same thing with JJ, and you don't want to rush him back, but when he gets back, he's still going to get doubles and triples, and that's why Clowney has got to step up.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. Today, it's at Pac-Man Joel with a C-K, at Degenerates975, at Jon Snow with a zero. Don't forget that one, of course. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first 2 hours, a lot of really good stuff there, kind of all over the place, some sports, some stuff. Joel Blank filling in for A.J. today, who will be back tomorrow. But so far, so good. If you can just not screw up for the last hour here, not do something really disastrous.
I'm trying, man. I'm thinking about climbing the side of the building, but that might have been a little bit over the top.
The problem is it's only four floors. The worst you'll do is turn an ankle. So
that's true.
And by the way, not that I'm prophetic or anything. It's just that I knew those guys would wake up.
Now.
Yeah, Team USA comes out running in the second half and has a four-point lead. So I think they were either out. I think you mentioned they were all at the swimming last night, and then they were probably all at the brothel after that. So just, yeah, you got to shake off the cobwebs. You know, get rid of the stripper soap smell.
It was bound and determined to happen that someone would step up and get. Oh, and Dellavedova's in the game now. He could be a game changer.
One way or the other. He could be a game changer either way. But Spain was a team that everybody thought was going to be able to challenge him, and they started off terrible.
But Marc Gasol's out, and he's not playing, and they said that his brother came in a little bit chubby.
And missing free throws against Brazil at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Which is more than...
How about the money Dellavedova got, by the way?
To me, every one of these contracts...
The money in basketball is out of control.
It's whatever the... You know, the way the salary cap is, you got to pay these guys, and you know that's the market now. Boy, these little Aussies won't quit.
Well, that's your boy Dellavedova throwing up the air ball in the middle, so that'll be the game changer.
Anyway, I'm not sure we can give play by play on this, because I remember some guy on some other channel used to have some kind of disclaimer about you must have permission from whatever.
Oh, NBC, yeah.
No, I don't know. I would tune in for some basketball team in town, and I would hear this
Wait,
voice.
Who?
Yeah.
What?
Just some comment about how, you know,
U of H?
It's a property of whomever, and could not be rebroadcast without the express written consent.
Oh, that little disclaimer.
Yeah.
Thing. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I know.
All right, we've been awful sportsy. Can I mix it up for a little
bit?
Sure. And talk about something that I'm very fond of.
Porn?
No, more. This is higher on my list.
Okay,
this is below. Let's see, below horse racing, above porn, probably.
So somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, although well above porn, just below horse racing.
Okay.
As you know, marijuana is becoming legal in a lot of places,
mm-hmm.
and I think is going to continue to do so. Well, I've always had some theories about weed and its relationship to sex. Well, guess what? It's science. New York University did a research project that compared the use of marijuana and how it may influence risk for unsafe sexual behavior. And the results they came to were that beer is much worse than marijuana in terms of causing encounters. For instance, of the respondents, they reported that alcohol use was more likely to negatively affect the partners they choose. That makes sense. You're out at a bar. You're trashed.
Beer goggles.
Yeah, beer goggles. You know, your standards drop a little bit. 134-year-old woman said, with weed, I know who I'm waking up with. With drinking, you don't know. Once you start drinking, everybody looks good. That's why I like drunk women. Marijuana use was also more associated with sex with people the respondents already knew, such as girlfriends and boyfriends. But alcohol was commonly discussed in terms of having sex with strangers or someone new.
What they always say about alcohol when you're drinking is when a 5 becomes a 10 when you're about 6 beers in.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
The second part of the study, drunk sex often leads to regret. Stone sex typically doesn't.
That's science!
It is science. Exactly. One male respondent said, I want to cook the person something to eat after sex when I'm high. When I'm drunk, it's like I'm out of here or get away from me. That's true. Of course, you want to eat something when you're high. Here's one for you. Drunk sex can make you sick. Stone sex distracted. Nausea, dizziness, feeling sick, and blacking out were commonly reported to be associated with alcohol use. One male said he accidentally fell asleep during sex while drunk. Has that ever happened to you, John?
No.
Okay. Well, I think I've probably passed out from being drunk in the middle of it. But another
in the middle of it?
Well, probably was near the end. I don't know. I was drunk. A girl said sex had to be interrupted because I had to stop and hurl. There were fewer adverse effects reported with marijuana, and those tended to be more mental. One respondent said that marijuana use lessened his motivation to have sex. Another reported that being high distracted her from the experience. You're so high, you start thinking sex is weird, she said. Okay, I haven't had that experience. Fourth, the pleasure is usually better on marijuana, they found. And drunk sex is riskier overall. So, to summarize, weed sex better than drunk sex. That's basically what the study said.
That's basically what it said.
That's your science. And, you know, again, I always want to know how many people they interviewed and all that, which they don't have. But,
they interviewed Bill and Ted.
Probably. Anyway. Someone wants to know, why does Jong's Twitter handle change every 2 weeks? It hasn't changed in... It's been there for a month now. This is the fourth time you've changed it, I think.
No, it's been longer than a month. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I think it was like a month before you left. Maybe a couple of weeks before you left.
For some reason, it was the last one that I had trouble with. The Jungle Fever.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I struggle with that one for some reason.
I like that one better than having to point out the zero.
Yeah, but he would have Jon Snow with an O if it wasn't already
taken. And that Twitter account hasn't been active in like 3 years.
Of course.
One quick thing. So Prince Fielder retired today.
Yeah.
And this is what somebody asked him.
I never understand what Lou Gehrig was going through in his famous speech.
What?
What else we got? Any other questions?
Are you serious?
Oh, come on, man. This is why people think media folks are morons, is because of questions like that.
Was that Barry Warner? At a Texans press conference? I'm just asking a question.
That did sound familiar, though, that voice that asked that question. It's hard to tell. But come on, man.
To be fair, Barry wouldn't ask.
No, Barry wouldn't ask.
Barry would ask a drilling question to put someone on the spot.
Boy, getting a lot of texts agreeing with the weed versus beer.
Stirred it up.
I know from my personal experience, I make no bones about the fact that I am a weed advocate and it should be legalized. I tend to agree with that study. If they'd interviewed me, I would have answered it the same way. Of course, you actually have to have sex, but some people saying they couldn't hear the question. He asked if it was
felt like
Lou Gehrig's farewell speech. Come on, man!
And his response was, "What?"
You mean one of the most famous species ever from a guy who was dying from a disease so debilitating that it was named after him? Yeah, that guy. Same thing. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And ESPN Radio Mike and Mike Extra Point.
It is his world. We're all just swimming in it. He, of course, is Michael Phelps, the most dominant athlete perhaps of all time. Won his 20th and 21st gold medals last night.
In Olympics now, he has 21 gold medals. In World Championships since 2001, he has 26 gold medals. He has 47 gold medals.
Okay. So is it possible he takes this thing even above that and we see him again 4 years from now?
This guy can do it again.
Yeah, why not?
The other side of it is, he was floundering outside of the pool, you know, when we thought he was going to retire.
It's interesting that you choose a fish.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, term for that. He could have been anything. He could have been struggling.
He was struggling.
If you indeed did do that purposely, it was genius.
Struggling like a flounder on the end of a line. He was
like
struggling.
A flounder in a sandwich.
Hear more from Mike and Mike tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know? True friends stab you in the front.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Joe Blank filling in. And this game's tied again at 67. So these Aussies aren't going away.
There was what are the odds that Kyle Lowry would have been an Olympian a couple of years ago when he was with the Rockets?
I wouldn't have given you that then, but boy, he's turned into a... I mean, he was a pretty good player here, but he's turned into a terrific player.
He found a shot, and he is playing some ball.
Yeah, some of those guys get up to Toronto and just turn into different animals. I don't know if it's a... I don't know what it is, but he's one of those guys that got better. DeRozan turned into a real nice player up there. I wouldn't have thought both of them would have been on there, but I think there's a basket, so it's 69-67 now with a foul shot to come. Lamont had asked if you'd been back to Toyota Center. So you went and saw these guys in Nigeria, right?
I did. I went and saw the USA game, and I knew what I was getting into. But one of my good friends was our PR guy back in the day. Tim Frank he's got the cushiest, best job in the world. He's the head of PR for the NBA, and then he gets to move on and cover and work with Team USA and go to the Olympics and stay on the boat and do everything with these guys, too. So he called me and said, come on down. Want to hang out? So I didn't stay for the whole game.
I haven't seen Tim since he left the Rockets, but great, great dude.
Unreal.
Long relationship with him back, going way back when he was head dude at the Rockets, and he and Angela were there. And I haven't seen any of them since I left the newspaper business. But
yeah, Timmy has turned it. He left the Rockets, and we were all sad to see him go, but we kind of knew that he would turn out okay. And he played his cards right, succeeded Brian McIntyre, and now he is the head of PR, vice president of PR for the NBA. Great gig.
70-67 USA right now, but I think it's still anyone's third quarter. Let's grab a phone call on a What Are the Odds Wednesday from Jesse. You're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports, guys.
Sports to you, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, before I give you my question, I wanted to say I was listening to your segment on corruption in journalism, and personally to me as a podcaster, I found it really inspiring. It really motivates me to want to tell the truth and, be as straightforward as I can in what I do.
Well, I'll tell you what, tell people about your podcast real quick and then get to your question.
My podcast is called For the Rest of Us. Basically, we do a little bit of nerd culture. We do a little bit of storytelling. We like to talk about fascinating people. You can find us on Facebook, Stitcher, pretty much every major podcatcher there is.
Cool. So what's the question?
What are the odds that if I go try out for Rock the Mic this week and do my Macho Man impersonation that I will get a ticket to the finals?
I'll have to let Jong put the percentages on that since he just judged. And Jong likes wrestling.
Will you be stepping into a Slim Jim?
If it's good, we'll...
But you can't guarantee that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, if it's good and you bring something else, like a take of something.
Well, and if you do a podcast, you're already ahead of a lot of people, so you should. Hey, you want to hear my impression of Randy Macho Man Savage?
Uh-oh. Sure.
Here it is.
Because he's dead?
He's dead. Yes. That's all I got.
But I'm bummed.
Sorry. All right. That was cheap.
The dad joke.
I actually thought the gravelly voice was coming out and you were going to heave ho.
No, I don't. My problem is the only impressions that I can do are people who aren't relevant anymore. Like Mac Brown, who cares? Yeah. I used to do a great Jimmy Stewart, who cares? He's dead.
Yeah.
Kermit the Frog. Well, everybody thinks it's Delotti now. I mean, so basically the only things I do are redneck voice and occasionally Canadian voice, but I don't
British,
actually...
British guy?
Do British guy sometimes. But my problem with British is sometimes I'm like the Geico lizard or gecko. I lapse from English to sort of South African to Australian to one sort of guttural... the Cockney English to the sort of smart-ass English.
I'm with you, though. Like Carson, Jimmy Stewart, Eastwood, Kermit, Harry Carey, Dave South, which you guys almost got... Some people almost got me in trouble
I would have liked to have heard that. Had you met him before?
I had never met him. I had only heard him. And when he walked in, it's one of those, like, you have a certain image in your mind of what he's going to look like, and it was completely different.
See, I always thought he was... Well, I kind of thought he was a big fella.
I did. I thought he was the Family Guy. I thought he was, you know, because Newman on
his
Seinfeld,
voice sounds
but a little
like,
older version.
Yeah, he sounds like big guy voice.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
Which is a good thing. But
oh, my God, he's a skinny old guy.
Yeah, and
someone on Twitter thought he looked like Walter Cronkite, but I was like, maybe if he's anorexic, but boy.
Yeah. He and I had a nice little conversation when we were down there about all kinds of stuff.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, I was impressed. It was not what I was expecting.
Did you know he rode a motorcycle there?
I did not know he rode a motorcycle
there.
Yeah,
he was telling us on the way out. Mm.
Interesting. I got the impression, he didn't really come out and say it, but I think he likes baseball a lot more than he does those other sports. Just got that impression.
Well, you noticed the shirt he was wearing. He was wearing a Jackie Robinson shirt, and he professed his love for the Dodgers, and it definitely sounded like he loved doing baseball.
We were talking Dodger baseball with Ian and AJ before he left. Tanner wants to know, what are the odds Randy Savage is crawling out of his grave to murder you right now? You know, if he does, that'd be kind of cool. But, well, nah, basically, that'd just be a...
Be cool if he brought Elizabeth.
That'd be another bad edition of Walking Dead. That's all that would be. Okay, man. Is that Deborah?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Deborah. What's up, Deborah?
Hello.
Hello to you.
Sports.
Sports. What you got?
What are the 16 years from now in the 2032 Olympics? We'll be talking about Boomer Phelps winning gold medals, the son of Michael Phelps.
Ooh.
I'm not, you know what?
First off, I'm not going to be alive in 2032. I'm going to go ahead and say that I'll put way under on that, so it'll be hard
for
me to see it.
You could be.
Dude, I have too much fun. I'd live like... Okay. Yeah, I do try to balance my degeneracy by working out a lot.
There you go.
But I drink too much.
You partake.
I have fun.
Yeah.
I stay up all night. Occasionally, will you know, 72-70 Australia.
Don't incriminate yourself.
That's all right.
I see.
Trust me, everybody knows. I don't lie about anything on this show. Everybody knows. So, I mean, yes, occasionally I will partake if I get an opportunity. I'd love to do it legally, frankly. But anyway, we digress.
Your odds.
My odds are... You know, I see, this is more of a horse racing question, Deborah. What's on the mare side? See, this is where greatness comes from in horse racing. It comes from the mare.
Well, I'm kind of with you, but look at the track record. For every Ken Griffey Jr., there's Michael Jordan's kids. Or there's so many more failures than there are successes because all the kids kind of don't have to go through the trials and tribulations that the superstars did to become who they were. And then they don't end up becoming anything near what their parents were in the process. And so I would put it at like 20-25% simply because when a kid grows up and inevitably, even if you try not to, they're fed with a silver spoon and they've got everything at their beck and call, they probably kind of get a little bit entitled and don't work as hard. And I would say that would be my bet. I'd say 20-25%.
I've got to study the mare a little closer before. And I mean, was she a swimmer? Was she really good?
Yeah.
Because if so, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with soccer a couple months ago about how we should take all the U.S. women's soccer players and breed them all to Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi.
So this is actually science. This is right down your alley.
Yes,
today.
Absolutely. It's a breeding thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a 25% chance.
That's what I said
without knowing much about. Not knowing much about the mayor. I have to, you know, study the bloodlines a little bit.
So I got to believe, though, that, my wife and I were actually talking about this, but don't you believe that the rate of pregnancies coming out of the Olympics when your sport is over, and then you can start talking about some possible athletes coming out of that group? Because if everybody, from what I've heard about the parties and the fact that they passed out that many condoms, when your event is over and you start hanging out, I don't know.
That doubled down with a great question. What are the odds if they were Chinese, the Chinese government would force Phelps and Ledecky to procreate? 100%. But you know what? That was a good odds question. Thank you for the call because,
I don't know if this is going to sway your vote or any one way or the other, but the future Mrs. Phelps was the 2010 Miss California.
Okay, so she's...
But can she swim?
Well, but she probably not. She looks good in a swimsuit, though, so that's a step in the right direction.
But if she was a model, then you're going long legs, long limbs. That helps.
Right. And because if you notice, every single one of those swimmers have the goofiest-looking bodies. I mean, for as athletic as they are, they've got giant shoulders, ridiculously long arms, and, like, these long trunks.
A waist that you could fit a bracelet on?
Yeah,
a
small waist, except for the Ethiopian dude.
That dude was awesome. He's got the beer barrel.
I loved him. But they just, I mean, their bodies look really strange. So
in some cases, so do their grills. I agree with you on the girl that the king beat and then took shots at from Russia. She was very pretty. But for the most part... Come on, man. You're a big Ledecky fan.
Yeah, what is she? She's only like 19. I can't even...
We can go right down the list.
No, I have a rule. Before I can admire them, they have to be old enough to drink.
But you're not admiring.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not admiring her because she's 19 years old.
But even if she was 29?
Well, then that's a different animal.
I'm not touching that.
We're going to take a quick break. I don't know how we got on this. 78-74 U.S. now with 650-something left.
You're doing play-by-play again?
That's not really play-by-play. It's an update. Yeah, that's what I need. I need to go back to doing updates, John. Hey, this is Rhett Fowler for ESPN 97.5 with your afternoon sports update. And right now, the U.S. is struggling against the Aussies. They lead 78-74 with 6 minutes to go in the third period in Olympic basketball. Kevin Durant probably should not have gone to the Warriors. He looks like garbage today. Anyway, let's take a break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a Blitz. A Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. No A.J. today, Joel Blank filling in. And so far, two more segments. You just have to avoid sucking for two more segments.
I'm trying, man. I feel out of my element, but I'm trying to do my best.
Now you got to finish strong, man. Don't start fading on me now.
No, I'm not. I'm here for you.
What do you mean you're out of your element?
I don't know. I mean, we just met. We didn't know. I feel like you guys have a lot of like routines and things going that I should be a part. It should be more well versed in that I'm not.
Such as,
like, what are the odds, and you know some of the shtick and things that I will pick up on more as time goes by.
Did he say shtick?
I did. I said shtick.
Is he implying that we do shtick?
Sometimes.
Hmm.
Karaoke with Zhang, I think.
That's not a shtick. That was totally organic. It came out of nowhere one day.
Yeah. Well, and it came back today.
Yeah, and it's not... All right, you saw my show notes. Was there anywhere in the planning about bring back Zhang karaoke?
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying I feel like I could. I wish I could partake more in some of it. I want to, and I'll get there.
Shtick. I think he's blown it. He was doing so well.
Yeah, let's go.
Just had him set up to be funny here, and he says our show is
shtick. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying I feel bad for not bringing more to the table. How about that?
It's a little late for that.
I know.
Let's try a phone call. Is that okay? It's not just me on the screen, man. This, can we wash this thing off so I can actually read these things?
Buck, U of H football.
Buck, what's up, Buck? Buck?
Yeah, sports guys, what are the odds that University of Houston beats Oklahoma first game of the season?
Oof. Yeah, man, I get that one every week. I think it's... I'd put it at 35%. I think they are going to scare the hell out of OU. It's not going to surprise me if they win the game, but I still think OU is a better football team.
They're loaded. OU is just loaded.
And... Yeah, I my concerns with UH secondary, they lost not just William Jackson, but those two safeties were ball hawks, man. They forced a lot of turnovers. They were great in run support. They were just great players, great college players. And I don't know if they've replaced those. Other than that, this team's going to be loaded. And Greg Ward's going to take another step forward. I know they lost DeMarcus Ayers, but the receiving core is going to be terrific. The offensive line was patchworked last year. This is going to be a very good UH football team, but I just think, you know, this is a very good OU.
Well, so then follow-up question. After the OU game, what are the odds they run the table?
It's funny because my buddy Chris Whitmire was asking me earlier, what are the odds Coug smokes Okie and then gets beat by Lamar or a scrubby program in general? I think that Louisville game here is going to be extremely difficult. Don't get me wrong, man. I'm a UH guy. Mm-hmm. Through. I want them to win them all. But I'm trying to look at it realistically. I think OU is a game that I think they stay within 9 points. That's I would say that. But
that's what I'm saying. The rest of the year, realistically, you're an expert. I want to know.
Well, if I'm an expert, I'm just.
I mean, I trust your opinion. But I'm just curious, after the OU game, will they run the table?
I'm going to go no. Okay. I mean, they can.
Yeah.
They're going to be favored in every other game with the exception of maybe they won't be favored in the Louisville game. Maybe they will. That's not always a fair indicator. But you know, the OU game to me is going to be very tough. Lamar should be a cakewalk. At Cincinnati is no joke. I mean, that's a good, well-coached football team. Quarterback Gunnar Kiel is a damn good player. He's back, but I expect them to win that. Texas State should be an easy win. UConn was a bad trip last year, but that shouldn't be a problem. The game the two games that I'm worried about besides Louisville are at Navy on October 8th, mm-hmm. and that at Cincinnati game. Other than that, unless Greg Ward gets hurt, I just don't see them losing to anybody else other than Louisville. Memphis, I don't expect to be as good this year. And the rest of their schedule, Tulsa's still not there yet. SMU's still not there. UCF has fallen off a cliff. Tulane's useless. So, yeah, I think, to me, the trouble spots are at Cincinnati.
I think the Navy game.
And at Navy. Navy's always tough to play because, now, the one thing I will say that I've been impressed about Tom Herman, last year they were really good. If you were a one-dimensional team, of taking away that dimension, at least slowing it down enough to where their offense could win. And they did that pretty well against Navy. Now, whether or not they can do it on the road without some of the guys in the secondary is a totally different question. Although Navy lost that great quarterback of theirs. Let's grab Bruce real quick. What's up, Bruce?
You read that one well, by the way.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports man, what's up?
Okay, what are the odds that you guys will guess what I think is the most action-packed episode of Banshee of all four seasons? And if you guess right, I'll give you a free guitar.
What are we guessing?
The most action-packed Banshee?
The most action-packed episode of Banshee.
Well, it depends on the guitar. I've already got three. I don't need another one.
it's a Dean guitar from 1980. American-made Dean classic.
The one that you think, though, not what is the most, right? And your opinion.
You're going to be honest if he gets it right? Because I'm out. I don't know what you're talking
about. You've never watched the episode, huh? Or Banshee, huh?
No.
Well.
Will you be honest if he guesses it right?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint if you want.
No, that's okay.
You really want to give the guitar away, don't you?
I will tell you the one that I thought was the most action-packed. was the finale of season three, We All Pay Eventually. That one was with the battle with all the military guys. That was the one that I thought had the most action in it.
I thought it was the episode with the fight with Burton and the Clayton's sister.
That was a great one. That was a great one. Yeah. But I mean, just as far as pure action the whole way, I mean, think about this. This is where they had the Salvadorans going after Proctor. You had Hood and all the rest of them at the military compound going after them. Job gets kidnapped. I mean, that show in 1 hour, I think there were probably 10,000 things that happened. So.
Okay. Just forget the guitar.
You really want rid of that thing, don't you?
I got about 30 of them, so it's
just
one.
Cool. Well, we'll do that, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, man, you never saw that show?
No, I've not.
It's only four seasons. Go DVR it. Season three.
On what network?
It was on Cinemax, so it's available on demand. It's also on some of the other platforms. I'm not sure which, but honestly, that may be the number one show that's
Banshee,
completed that I've ever seen. Yeah.
Okay.
I need to kind of get away from it for a little bit. The way I always describe it, people ask me, what's it about? And a master thief posing as a sheriff, an Amish mob boss, a cross-dressing computer hacker, and lots of sex and violence, and it moves fast. And if that doesn't get you interested, then it's probably not your kind of
show. There's some compelling elements.
Yeah, we used to have Matthew Rauch, who was played Burton, and that Burton scene that he was talking about was just fantastic, where he fought the chick. That was a better fight scene. John, better fight scene than Burton and Hood? Was Burton and the chick?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree, too. You know, a lot of Joe Blank is cool, and he knows the NBA.
No way. Kyrie Irving, with a late push, put U.S. up 5 under a minute to play.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Football's in the air, and we're gearing up for the season at Nick's Place. Join ESPN 97.5 each Thursday when John and Raheel will broadcast live beginning at 10 from Nick's Place. Then Unfiltered will take the stage at noon. Meet them at the best neighborhood Italian food and drink spot in Houston. Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, one of my all-time favorite places. Okay, also remind you that Hustletown, Craig Shelton, Jermaine Every, Angelo Lawford coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Good to see our buddy Craig back in action. So that'll be coming up at 7 o'clock, part of the...
He's off the DL, and your Nick's Place thing, it's a Packer bar, so it's a good spot. I like Nick's Place.
Yeah, you know what? I've been there for, I used to live right across the street, so we'd go for every game. It's an every place bar.
Yeah, it is.
It has, I mean, a lot of Steeler fans. It's just a cool place. So if you're out that side of Westheimer, check it out. Tell my buddy Nick I said hello and that, you know, we need to go get a beer soon since he doesn't listen to the show anymore. All right. Actually, he does, so.
He loves John.
Yeah, it's a...
There's a lot of man love there.
Yeah, I understand it. You know, it's
from back in the day.
Just use protection, guys. All right, here's how we finish the show. Every Wednesday, we celebrate those who have passed away. We have a lot of deaths, but we don't have any porn stars, which I was hoping to play How the Porn Star Die. But start off with celebrities. Okay, these are lame celebrities. Merv Griffin, Peter Jennings, Peter Cushing. Oliver Hardy. Never mind. We'll skip the celebrities. How about Herb Brooks, American ice hockey coach? Dead in a car accident at 66. 66 is not a good run.
No, not enough.
Hey, well, I think we've established that 85 and up, good run.
Yeah, absolutely.
78 to 85, not a bad run. Anything under that? So Shotzi, the Cincinnati Red dog mascot, 9, not a good run. Not even for a dog.
Or Rin Tin Tin.
1969. Yeah, Rin Tin Tin. 1932.
I can't tell you. I know it's a dog.
I know nothing about Rin Tin Tin other than, you know, that it was a dog. And I used to hear about Rin Tin Tin. I don't think I ever saw anything with Rin Tin Tin in it. Like Lassie, I did see Lassie. but you're younger. That, yeah, you probably never saw Lassie either.
No, I know who Lassie is. A colleague, but that's about all I got.
Sharon Tate, actress in 1969, killed by the Manson Gang at the age of 26.
I knew that name.
Here's a good one. We were just talking guitars.
I was gonna say, ideally, with your guitar talk, Les Paul.
Les Paul, 94. That's a good run. I still have a 1976 Les Paul Standard that I trot out every now and then that is a fantastic guitar.
It's got a little value to it, too, doesn't it?
It does, but it's not getting sold. It's going to, that one's going to my daughter when I die.
That's awesome. By the way, did you see his real name?
Lester William Pulsefus.
Pulsefus.
I would change my name to Les Paul, too.
Absolutely.
Pulsefus. A lot of people say I should change Fowler, but that's another story. This one kind of got to me today because I've met him a few times, and 61 is not old. John Saunders.
Got me, too.
The ESPN anchor. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Sean or Steve.
I
know they know him real well. So
I caught Sean in the hallway, and I said, because I had some interactions with the guy, and he was all class all the time, and Sean just echoed that 100 times over and talked about just how big a loss it was because of what a class guy he was.
Well, not only that, what I liked about him is that guy was successful, respected, without doing Skip Bayless shtick.
There you go.
That's
the shtick.
Shtick is an offense.
And here's the other thing. From a versatility perspective, he could do sports reporters, then go over and do hockey, then go over and do basketball, and then do sports center. He could do it all, and he did it all at a level where he was likable, and he had a delivery where people understood it and liked the way he did his thing.
Frank Gifford in 2015.
Kathy Lee's
84. Good run.
Good run, yeah. I'll tell you, this one right here hurts me.
Yeah. Robin Williams, 2014, 63, not a good run.
And then when you bring in suicide, too, and the fact that it was his call, that hurt a lot because what a talented guy.
Yeah, that one, there have been a few in the last couple of years, and U.S. has survived here. So you guys can quit sweating it.
Yep.
He was one. David Bowie was one that kind of got to me.
Yeah. Prince.
I was never a big Prince fan, but I kind of got, that I saw the importance of that.
Yeah.
But Robin Williams kind of started. There's somebody else in that stretch, too, that it just kind of...
We're missing one, but you're right. Yeah. Bowie, Prince, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Robin Williams was definitely one that got to me.
So he says, disagree. There's 85-year-olds who never really lived and 45-year-olds who lived enough for two people. I think I've lived enough for 10 people myself, so I can check out tomorrow and be fine. My goal is to live two more years so I can see what happens at Game of Thrones. That's it. Let's see, where else?
Where I'm an 11-month-old, man. I got to hang in for a while.
My kids are old enough now that they'd be like, well, we'll miss you, Dad. Would you leave me? Just kidding. Like that.
Mickey Mantle.
Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Isaac Hayes in 2008.
Shaft.
Mickey Mantle.
The Mick.
There's a guy that I don't feel too sorry for. 63. I mean, he
burned it at both ends.
He enjoyed himself.
Yes, he did.
So, 1946, H.G. Wells, who wrote The War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Dead at 79. He did not make it to 1984. And in 30 B.C., Cleopatra. Cleopatra 7 Philopater. Who's the Philopater? Help me with this. Ano is the last ruler of the Egyptian Ptolemaic dynasty, commits suicide allegedly by inducing an asp to bite her, also known as an Egyptian cobra.
Did you know what an asp was, if that wasn't there in parentheses? Mind if I ask you a question?
Yes, I knew you asp. I knew exactly what it was.
Would you kiss my asp?
If I make it to 63, maybe. We'll see. Anyway, okay, that was a really lame rendition of death, and we didn't have some great ones. But and maybe because there's actually some that... Usually we do this, and it's kind of... You can make fun of them because they're all 85. But I still feel... I mean, like John Saunders, I can't really make fun of, and Robin Williams. And then that kind of puts you into that whole depression thing.
Yeah, that one really did bum me out.
Yeah. I'm sorry that deaths were... You know, not fun today.
But as you said, I mean, you talk about a guy that lived, got the most out of his, 63 years?
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was on go at all times.
I always try to tell people it's you try to enjoy every day. And I think in the end he had some demons that he was dealing with that
sure.
he couldn't deal with anymore. But yeah, if you think about not just accomplishments, but your daily accomplishments and the things you enjoy in life. And yeah, I've had a chance to do things that in my life that I know people will never get an opportunity to do. And covering some of the sports I've covered and doing some of the things I've done and meeting some of the people I've met and, you know, having a chance, you know, when I was younger to almost make it as a rock star and, you know, get to play in the World Series of Poker and all kinds of cool stuff and be married a whole bunch of times, which, anyway.
Hey, just 94-95, the run in the championship to travel with a team that wins the title is pretty damn amazing.
Yeah. God, there's so many things I look back on. I've actually covered every major sporting event in this country at one point or another.
Yeah, that's
and it's just it's
badass.
It is badass, and one of these days it's going to come back to bite me.
And that is a great way to wrap it.
All right, that is going to wrap it. Great job, Jong Lee. Great job, Joel Blank.
Thanks for having me, fellas. I did my best,
and I'll give myself a solid D+ today. But I'll get better tomorrow. We'll try it again. AJ, I'll be back. Till then, stay sports, you bitches. No, no.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN.